This is Elliot Odell here. I want to tell you why you should never trust me. And also, I want to give you the truth about how exactly you can become entitled to every promise in the Bible. But before I do that, I want to tell you why you should never trust me. Elliot, you're about to tell me why I should never trust you, and then you want to tell me how I can become entitled to every promise in the Bible? I think you've just messed up there. Maybe you should have told me how to become entitled to every promise and then tell me why I shouldn't trust you. Hear me out. There is a good reason for this, and as we go along, you'll figure out what I'm getting at. So first, why you should never trust me? Well, first of all, you don't know who I am. I have no credibility. I've committed sins too numerous to mention. In fact, I'll give you a brief list. I've told lies. I've deceived and manipulated people to get my own way. I once stole someone's stuffed animal because I didn't like something they said. What else? I've had fights in school. I've talked about people behind their backs. I've been known to exaggerate. I've cheated in games so I could win. I've played pranks on people. I've got people into trouble. And trust me, that's not the half of it. If I were you, I wouldn't put your trust in me. My track record isn't exactly the best example. As I said, I have no credibility. You probably don't know me from Adam. So, bearing in mind everything I just said, why on earth should you want to trust me to teach you spiritual things? Well, you may be thinking, Elliot, nobody's perfect. I've done some of that stuff too. I can forgive you. You know, I appreciate your honesty. At least you're upfront about things. Unlike people who hide stuff from public eyes, you seem like a pretty nice guy. I think I can trust you. Everybody has done something wrong at some point in their lives. After all, you have to trust someone to teach you something. Otherwise, nobody would learn anything. My friend, if those are some of the thoughts you've had, you're absolutely right. No human, except Jesus, has lived a perfect life. And Jesus has entrusted the gospel to humans who have fallen. He has given us two resources to guide us, his word and his Holy Spirit to teach us all things. So, although I am well and truly unworthy of your trust, and you should never trust what Elliot says, if what Elliot says is from either one of the two sources I just mentioned, then although you can't rely on me, you can rely on the Word of God. So it is your job to make sure everything you hear from my lips can be matched with Scripture, because I have no authority, nothing I can teach you of myself. Trust Jesus and his word. If a man can prove what he says is congruent with Scripture from God's word, trust what he says. But don't put all your trust in that person. Just because they've proven a few things to you, don't assume from that point on that you don't need to keep checking everything they say. They may be deceived in some areas, or trying to deceive you. Now, I'll do the best I can in the strength God gives me to be sure that everything I show you is what God said. But like everybody else, I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I haven't mastered everything. In fact, I've mastered nothing. Every time you think you've got to the best you can, you always see where you have room to improve. So I can only promise you everything I show you will be backed up with the Word of God, with as much sincere honesty and accuracy as I can by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But never take my word for anything. Make sure that you check it out. If I can't prove something to you with scripture, I want you to say, Elliot, you're talking rubbish, and discard it. If I can't prove what I say, book, chapter, and verse, don't say amen. I'm just hiding behind Jesus and what he has to say, so that you don't see me, but Jesus. And if you like something that comes out of my mouth, glorify him. Let no man glory in men. I'm just a man. I may fall. If you're following me, you'll fall. My advice is to pray for me and just listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Now, the Apostle Paul realized that his sufficiency was not in himself, but in the presence of the Holy Spirit, whose gracious influence filled his heart, bringing every thought into subjection to Christ. He spoke of himself as always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In the apostles' teachings, Christ was the central figure. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Self was hidden. Christ was revealed and exalted. Now, Paul was an eloquent speaker. Before his conversion, he had often sought to impress his hearers by fancy words. But now, he set all this aside. Instead of indulging in poetic descriptions and fanciful representations, which might please the senses and feed the imagination, but which would not touch the daily experience, Paul sought by the use of simple language to bring home to the heart the truths that are of vital importance. Fanciful representations of proof may cause an ecstasy of feeling, but all too often, truths presented in this way do not supply the food necessary to strengthen and fortify the believer for the battles of life. The immediate needs, the present trials of struggling souls, these must be met with sound, practical instruction in the fundamental principles of Christianity. Now, I want to share with you the disadvantage of having a favorite minister. You know, when God sends gospel workers as his ambassadors, he's dishonored every time his children develop such a strong attachment to some favorite minister, because eventually they are unwilling to accept the teachings of another teacher. Sometimes God sends help to his people that they might not have chosen, but as they need. Let's be honest, mankind is short-sighted and can't always discern what's best for their highest good. It's seldom that one minister has all the qualifications necessary to perfect people in all the requirements of Christianity. So therefore, God often sends to his people different ministers, each possessing some qualifications in which others were deficient. And we as Christ's disciples, we should gratefully accept the servants Christ sends, even as we would accept Jesus himself. And we ought to seek to derive all the benefit from the instruction which each minister may give us from the word of God. And the truths that the servants of God bring must be accepted and appreciated in the meekness of humility, but no minister should be idolized. Now, I want to share with you the disadvantage of independence from human guidance. You see, in the early apostles' day and today, there were and are some poor misguided souls who claim to believe in Christ, but they refuse to show respect to his ambassadors. They follow no human teacher, and then they claim that they were or are taught directly by Christ without the aid of God's appointed human agencies, the ministers of the gospel. Some people are independent in spirit and unwilling to submit to the voice of the church. And people like this are in grave danger of being deceived. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. God has placed in the church, as his appointed helpers, men of varied talents, that through the combined wisdom of many, the mind of the Spirit may be met. People who rely on impressions alone aren't relying on the safest guide to duty. The enemy often persuades men to believe that it is God who is guiding them, when in reality they are only human impulse. But if we watch carefully and take counsel with our brethren, we will be given an understanding of the Lord's will, and God has promised, the meek will he hide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Jesus promises us, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And they talked together, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now you need to take initiative and seek for yourself. Don't look to be spoon-fed. See, it was by cherishing a humble, teachable spirit that the apostles of the gospel gained the experience that enabled them to go out as workers into the harvest field. Their example presents to Christians a lesson of great value. There are many who make but little progress in the divine life because they are too self-sufficient to occupy the position of learners. They're content with a superficial knowledge of God's word, but they don't wish to change their faith or practice, and hence they make no effort to obtain greater enlightenment. If the followers of Christ became earnest seekers after wisdom, they'd be led into riches of truth, which they would have otherwise never discovered. If you will give yourself fully to God, you will be guided by his divine hand. You may be lowly and apparently ungifted, but if with a loving, trusting heart, you obey every intimation of God's will, your powers will be purified, ennobled, energized, and your capabilities will be increased. As you treasure the lessons of divine wisdom, a sacred commission will be entrusted to you, and you will be enabled to make your life an honor to God and a blessing to the world. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, the other thing you need to do is be aware of those who you cannot trust, deceivers. Many are deceived today in the same way as were the Jews. Religious teachers read the Bible in light of their own understanding and traditions, and the people don't search the scriptures for themselves and judge for themselves as to what is truth, but they yield up their judgment and commit their souls to their leaders. And the preaching and teaching of his word is one of the means that God has ordained for diffusing light. But we must bring every man's teaching to the test of scripture. Whoever will prayerfully study the Bible, desiring to know the truth, that they may obey it, will receive divine enlightenment. They will understand the scriptures. If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching. Now, as I said earlier, don't just accept what I say. Check it against scripture. Prove it true to yourself. I say this because You need to make this a habit with everybody. In life, you will come across various teachings of light and darkness, truth and error, and it's for you to decide which you will accept. The human mind has been endowed with power to discriminate between right and wrong. God's desire is that we don't decide from impulse, but from the overwhelming weight of evidence, carefully comparing scripture with scripture. He said, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, there are people out there who are pretending to have your best interests at heart, but aren't really helping anyone but themselves. And these people are excellent instruments for the enemy to do his bidding. And if you're not experiencing success spiritually and every other area, and you're doing everything your teachers in the faith are showing you, it's because they aren't telling you everything which you need to know. In some cases, some ministers are genuinely doing the best they know to do sincerely. But sincerity doesn't always mean accuracy. But there are those who deceive people to obey God for the sole purpose of enriching themselves. And of course, according to them, you'll only be blessed if you give them an offering. And they are always trying to sell you on giving offerings as the solution to everything. Now, I could go on and on about how wrong this is, but the main problem with offerings being the solution for everything is, if that were true, then that gives people permission to live disobedient to everything else God stands for and think they are okay, because they give offerings and expect to be blessed and make it to the kingdom. People live their lives being deceived. And if you're beginning to hate deception, trust me, I know and understand how you feel. Now, here's what you must do to accomplish what you want. Here's the truth, not because I say it's true, but because it's what God says. If, for example, you live a really unhealthy lifestyle, you eat foods that are no good, etc., and you are ill, I don't care if you are standing on God's promises regarding healing and giving a large sacrificial offerings, you won't get healed if you continue to live contrary to the guidelines God has specified as a healthy lifestyle. You have to live a healthy life, obedient to God's guidelines. Only then are you eligible to receive the promises God has given regarding healing, good health, and vigor of life. You have to be obedient to God's guidelines in the right areas of life in which you want to prosper. I'm sure you can see the simple sense in that, but many don't. Now, some ministers know what they should be teaching and don't. And if you've been doing everything they say and you're not getting anywhere, and you didn't know better that you're supposed to compare what they teach you with the word, then it's not your fault. And the reason you haven't had the success you want on what you have acted on so far is because you haven't been told the entire brutal truth, which, by the way, a lot of ministers won't share with you for fear of being unpopular or losing support for their ministry. And in order to avoid that risk, they compromise on the truth. They have their own best interests at heart and not yours. How many people have been taken advantage of with no solution to their problem? Now, some ministers profess to have victory in certain areas, having a form of godliness, and create the illusion that they are victorious, but denying the power thereof. They aren't victorious, and they don't know how to get victory, and they tell you they do, and teach you stuff which doesn't even work for them. And Paul warns, from such turn away. By their fruits you shall know them. And strangely, some ministers are doing the right things and experience success in certain areas, but again, they aren't sharing the stuff they really do, which really got them where they are. In some rare cases, this is unconsciously, but sometimes they don't want to really reveal to you the entire true effort involved to get you where they are for fear of losing your interest. So they tell you half the truth instead of telling you what you really need to know, the real stuff that got them where they are. If you actually follow these people, you will see what they do is a lot more detailed than what they actually tell you. They are very diligent, disciplined, and most of all, consistent. But they tell you the bare minimum and say, if you keep doing XYZ, you will get where they are. Not so. Frustrating? I know. I know and understand how you feel. And I'm going to do my best to give it to you real. I'll show you the truth that they are hiding or accidentally neglecting to tell you. And I'll show you what you must do to accomplish what you want. The reason you are not eligible to receive the manifestation of certain promises. You aren't having success in certain areas of life because people are hiding the truth from you. But while this is true, there are some truths you do know. And you know you do. And the reason you haven't had success with them is because although by covenant right you are entitled to God's promises, they are to be received by you meeting the requirements God has for those blessings to be bestowed. So there has to come a point where someone has to be bold enough to tell you the reason you aren't as blessed as you should be is your fault. You are not doing what you know you should be doing. And you know that's true. Blessing doesn't precede obedience. There is no way around that. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. You must have consistent, willing obedience and unwavering faith. You can't just claim God's promises and expect to be blessed without meeting his requirements. Just claiming blessings is not sufficient. Otherwise, we could just live as we wish and the world would see it's okay, live how they want and be blessed because we do it. In that case, why would we need a savior? Why would we need to repent? You can't just claim blessings. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, and many other such like things ye do, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. My motives. Some don't want to tell the whole truth because it won't make them popular, or they risk losing popularity, or maybe they are intimidated to tell the truth because they are answerable to other people, and with their cowardice antics, they don't seek to honor God. They'd rather obey man for their own well-being than expose you to the whole truth. They don't really value God's agenda or care enough about you. He that speaketh from himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. He that seeketh his own glory is speaking only from himself. The spirit of self-seeking betrays its origin, but Christ was seeking the glory of God. He spoke the words of God, and this was evidence of his authority as a teacher of the truth. As I said, I have no authority of myself. The word of God is the authority I have to rely on. And I care enough about you to tell you the whole uncompromised truth. You may not always like what I tell you, because truth can make you uncomfortable. But it's real truth, which will get you visible results. I'm going to teach you what's good for you and what really works. And in return, I want you to do what I instruct you from what God has spoken and share with me how your life has transformed. Email mytestimony@faithboosters.com. My friend, you are destined for greatness. God doesn't see you as average. I don't see you as average. You are significant and have a major part to play in the advancement of the kingdom. There are people waiting for you to step into their lives because there is a problem God has equipped you to solve, which nobody else is able to solve quite like you can. You may not be able to see that now, but that's the truth. And my sincere prayer for you, and I pray for you often, by the way, is that you will get the most out of everything you do and grow in the knowledge of God, so you will be profitable and productive in service to the kingdom, and in so doing, you will prosper. I'm committed to your success in the kingdom. I too am on a journey and want to progress with you throughout your journey. There is hope for you to fulfill your calling if you will do things the way God says they are to be done, not living by man's ideas. People share promises with you from God's word, but they don't spend the time to teach you what exactly has to happen in order for that promise to be fulfilled. So there you are claiming the promise and it's never fulfilled. Well, there is a reason for that. You're putting the cart before the horse and the horse can't go anywhere. Here's what you need to know. You are in the driving seat. You have the kingdom as the engine and the Holy Spirit sitting in the passenger seat giving you direction. But you have to decide how far you push the accelerator and which direction you steer the vehicle. So the good news is your life is under your control. My point is that if you live in Averageville, you don't have to, because you are in control. You've had enough of staying where you are. I would if I were you too, and that's why I chose not to. And you can choose not to. So you and I can travel on this journey together. Now, don't follow me blindly because you grow to like me and trust me. Look on Jesus. If you follow a man, you will fall. If you're following me and I fall, you'll fall too. So don't follow me. Follow Christ, the one who has never fallen. I'm just here to show you Christ. His name is called the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God. If I show you the Word of God, I'm showing you Christ. And I want to show you Christ and Christ alone. If those who today are teaching the Word of God would uplift the cross of Christ higher and higher still, their ministry would be far more successful. All are to labor under his supervision, letting him work for and through his workmen. He is the one who gives tact and skill, and if they heed his instruction, he crowns their efforts with success. God has limitless inheritance reserved for you, but you can't receive beyond your maturity in spiritual things. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. That's why I pray for you almost daily that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I feel responsible for your spiritual advancement, and I want to help you to become a self-reliant, and by that I mean someone who doesn't need to be constantly spoon-fed and does your own study. I want you to become a self-reliant, growing Christian, strong in faith, zealous of good works, and wholehearted in your consecration to God and to the work of advancing his kingdom. And that leads me to the second thing I want to share with you, the truth about how to be entitled to every promise of God. Of God, the truth, is the channel through which the Lord manifests his spirit and power. Obedience to the word produces fruit. Obedience is born from love and leads to pure motives and unselfish actions. When the Holy Spirit impresses God's divine truths upon your heart, and truth from the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, becomes an abiding principle in your life, new conceptions are awakened, and your spiritual energies, which are lying dormant, are aroused to cooperate with God. This is how it was with Peter and the other disciples. Christ was the revealer of truth to the world. By him, the incorruptible seed, the word of God, was sown in the hearts of men. But you see, many of the precious lessons of the great teacher were spoken, and those who heard did not then understand them. It was after Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit brought his teachings to the remembrance of the disciples, and their spiritual senses woke up. The meaning of the truths Jesus shared with them flashed upon their minds as a new revelation made place for itself. Then the wonderful experience of his life became theirs. The word bore testimony through them, and they proclaimed the powerful truth: the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And the apostles exhorted the believers to study the scriptures through a proper understanding, of which they might make sure work for eternity. Peter realized that in the experience of every soul who is finally victorious, there would be scenes of perplexity and trial. But he also knew that an understanding of the scriptures would enable the tempted one to bring to mind promises that would comfort the heart and strengthen faith in the mighty one. But having said that, men's advantages for obtaining a knowledge of the truth, however great they may be, will prove of no benefit to him unless his heart is open to receive the truth. And there is a conscientious surrender of every habit and practice that is opposed to its principles. You see, there are those who profess holiness who say that they are holy the Lord's, and they claim their right to God's promises while refusing to render obedience to his commandments. And these transgressors of the law claim everything that is promised to the children of God, but this is presumption on their part. John tells us that true love for God will be revealed in obedience to all his commandments. It's not enough to believe the theory of truth or to make a profession of faith in Christ. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. It shall come to pass, if thou hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Now, John didn't teach that blessing was to be earned by obedience, but that obedience was the fruit of faith and love. Ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. If we abide in Christ, if the love of God dwells in the heart, our feelings, our thoughts, our actions will be in harmony with the will of God. The sanctified heart is in harmony with the precepts of God's law. Now, there are many who through striving to obey God's commandments have little peace or joy. You know what I'm talking about. Miserable looking Christians who never smile. And this is the result of a failure to exercise faith. They claim little when they could claim much. When they could claim much. There is no limit to the promises of God. And people like this don't correctly represent the sanctification that comes through obedience to the truth. Our daddy wants all his sons and daughters happy, peaceful, and obedient. Through the exercise of faith and obedience, you and I can become into the possession of blessings. Through faith, every deficiency of character may be supplied, every defilement cleansed, every fault corrected, every excellence developed. Prayer is heaven's ordained means of success in the conflict with sin and the development of Christian character. The divine influences that come in answer to the prayer of faith will accomplish in the soul of the suppliant all for which he pleads. For the pardon of sin, for the Holy Spirit, for a Christ-like temper, for wisdom and strength to do his work, for any gift he has promised, we may ask. And the promise is, ye shall receive. In all ages, God, through the medium of communion with heaven, God has worked out his purpose for his children, by gradually unfolding to their minds the doctrines of grace. His manner of imparting truth is illustrated in the words, his going forth is prepared as the morning. He who places himself where God can enlighten him advances, as it were, from the partial obscurity of dawn to the full radiance of noonday. True sanctification means perfect love, perfect obedience, perfect conformity to the will of God. We are to be sanctified to God through obedience to the truth. Our conscience must be purged from dead works to serve the living God. We are not yet perfect, but it is our privilege to cut away from the entanglements of self and sin and advance to perfection. Great possibilities, high and holy attainments are placed within the reach of all. The reason many in this age of the world make no greater advancement in the divine life is because they interpret the will of God to be just what they will to do. And while following their own desires, they flatter themselves that they are conforming to God's will, and they have no conflicts with self. There are others who, for a time, are successful in the struggle against in their selfish desire for pleasure and ease, and they are sincere and earnest, but grow weary of the constant effort of daily dying to self and of ceaseless turmoil. And so indolence seems inviting, death to self seems repulsive, and they close their drowsy eyes and fall under the power of temptation instead of resisting it. The directions laid down in the Word of God leave no room for compromise with evil. The Son of God was manifested that he might draw all men unto himself. He didn't come to lull the world to sleep, but to point out the narrow path in which all must travel in order to at last reach the gates of the city of God. His children must follow where he has led the way, at whatever sacrifice of ease or self-indulgence, at whatever cost of labor or suffering, they must maintain a constant battle with self. And the greatest praise you and I can bring to God is to become consecrated channels through whom he can work. Time is rapidly passing into eternity. Let's not keep back from God that which is his own. Let's not refuse him that which, though it cannot be given with merit, at the same time cannot be denied without ruin. He asks for a whole heart. Give it to him. It's rightly his, both by creation and by redemption. He asks for your intellect. Give it to him. It's his. He asks for your money. Give it to him. It's his. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. God requires the homage of a sanctified soul which has prepared itself by the exercise of faith that works by love to serve him. He holds up before us the highest ideal, even perfection, and he asks us to be absolutely and completely for him in this world as he is for us in the presence of God. As your soul yearns after God, you will find more and even more of the unsearchable riches of his grace. And as you contemplate these riches, you will come into possession of them, and you'll reveal the merits of the Savior's sacrifice, the protection of his righteousness, the fullness of his wisdom, and his power to present you before the Father without spot and blameless. My friend, every commandment your daddy has given is connected with a promise. When your request or claim for his promise is coupled with willing obedience, motivated by love, and unwavering faith in his faithfulness to honor his promise, you have met his requirements. And that, my friend, is how you become entitled to every promise in the Bible.